Well, I was gonna ask how you got from this beautiful Black community with that you describe as a center of Black excellence to Smith College.
Because I wanted to get the heck out of Dodge.
Uh-oh.
You know, I knew there were places beyond Atlanta. And you were restricted certain areas. Whenever, you know, we traveled, we were on vacation. You know, it was always a big issue about will there be hotels where we could stay that would allow us? And there was this one chain, and I forget what was the name of it, but it was after, like after you got past the Carolinas, I think. In the hotel. So that was a, you know, kind of, you know, thing. So I just wanted to get, I was tired of it. I mean, because of land of the what it was very cliquish. And I felt that a lot of people that I went to school with, you know, one of my best friends, just was dying. Her mother had gone to Spelman and she was just dying to go to Spelman. And I had no interest in any of the schools in Atlanta. I didn't even apply. And also because my older sister was at Spelman. And we're 2 years apart. And, you know, in high school, we were, you know, together. But she had originally started at Washington High School the year before this school that I ended up attending was built. So when we moved here and that high school was built, she transferred over. But because one, she was very smart, and two, because of how outstanding Washington High School was, they skipped her a grade. So, she ended up being further ahead of me. But it was always, you know, like her name was Jacqueline. They called her Jackie. I was always Jackie's little sister. You know, you get tired of that. And so I didn't want to repeat that at Spelman. Not that I had any interest whatsoever in going to Spelman. So when I was probably around the 10th grade, I started researching schools. And remember, there was no computer back then, but we had a full set of encyclopedias, and I just started going through reading about different schools. And then around 11th grade, I started sending off information about schools. I mean, it's a very laborious process. You know, if you're going to be looking at schools back then outside of HBCUs. And I really didn't have any interest in going to an HBCU. And I think, you know, it's funny how things all line up in life. I often think that my transferring to this all-white school, which I went 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, set me up for going to school with white kids. So that was a good transition. There was no like culture shock, if you will. About that. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can't still hear you.
Okay, I just have a call coming in and I didn't know if it was blocking you. That's what I did. And I don't know how familiar you are with the situation of the seven Black women that graduated in 73, but all of us had started at other schools. I ended up going to Smith College. In Northampton, Massachusetts. So, you familiar with Smith?
A little bit. You could
Okay.
tell me more about it.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do is I didn't want to go to a city school. So, I wanted to be like way out in the country and very isolated type of thing. And thank God I didn't end up going to that type of school, but it was a very small town. And it just so happens that a good friend of my sister's, and I didn't know this, she said, "Oh, Ruth is at Smith. I'll get her to talk to you." I said, "Wow, okay." So I applied to 14 schools, got into 15. Because a school in New Jersey accepted me based on my SAT scores. And so I just sort of, you know, kind of narrowed it down and decided that Smith sounded like it would be a great place to go. And I had a certain level of comfort knowing that this friend of my sister's, who I knew, you know.
You didn't do any visits?
No, we couldn't afford to do any visits. So no, it was just
that you knew this one
what
person.
I knew about, what I had read about, you know, the schools.
That was it, the fact that it was an all-girls school, did that factor into your decision?
Not really. At the time, because I applied to big schools, I applied to small schools. I didn't apply to any schools in the South. I was really interested in going to Stanford. I really wanted to go to Stanford, but I didn't even apply because I thought it was just too far away. And I thought, I don't know how I could afford to, you know, come back and forth, fly back and forth. So I didn't even apply. So I sort of regretted that. And as it turns out, a guy that I knew, who at the same time that, who was at Harvard with me, but at the same time had the same, his parents had the same concerns about was what was going to happen. And this is when the prep schools like Andover and Exeter started accepting Black students or really were looking for Black students. He ended up going to one of those. And from there, and so I sort of lost touch with him. And then it wasn't until much, many, many years later, I found out that he went to Stanford. But if I had known that, it might have changed my mind. But he was an only child, too. So yeah. He didn't have the same financial concerns that I had. And that was the other thing. I always knew that I was going to need to get a scholarship if I wanted to go to the place that I wanted to go to. And so that was also an incentive to be a good student, that I knew, yeah, knew. And then I had, you know, two younger siblings. So that was the other thing. But I initially loved Smith. It was a great fit for me. It was the right size and location wise for me. Very, very pretty campus, very pretty campus. And so it was good. And then one of the things I had mentioned to you about having other members of the class of seven, I'll call us, was because we all came from different schools. So three of us, Leslie, Terry, and I, were at Smith. And it was Terry who first told me about the program. By my second year, I was thinking about transferring because I thought I wanted, at that point, I did want more a co-ed situation. And while I felt that there were like absolutely brilliant women at Smith, they didn't really, I don't know how to explain this, but you had all these really bright women, but who didn't necessarily, I don't know, were reticent. I don't know if it's because the age that we grow up in, but didn't often, weren't, you couldn't get into lively discussion. Now, I consider myself an introvert, but I would go to class, and classes were small. So, you know, you might have 10, 15 women in a class. And sometimes there was just not a discussion getting started. So I would start a discussion, you know, because it's like, there are crickets here. And I want to have a discussion, speak up. So that sort of gave me some pause concern because, you know, that's what we were there for. We were to learn, there to learn, to engage, to discuss things, to debate things. And I just wasn't getting that enough.
Their economics
and it
classes.
Was frustrating because these women were brilliant. I mean, these weren't like, you know, slugs or anything. These were really smart women. So it was kind of frustrating that we had grown up in a society, I guess, or an environment where that type of discussion, you know, was not something that they were used to, which was very different at Dartmouth because at Dartmouth, I thought, oh, I really got to be on my game when I go to Dartmouth. And it was through the an exchange program. Dartmouth had not yet gone co-ed, and other places like Princeton and Harvard always had Radcliffe, but Princeton, Yale, and Brown sort of had all gone co-ed before Dartmouth did.
Yeah, we were the last Ivy to go co-ed.
Yes. And I wish I had known that, but again, I didn't, you know, being in the South, that was not something that the Ivies was just not something that people, you know, you just didn't know. And I had nobody to really counsel me. The college counselor, I digress here, but I'll go back. The college counselor at the white school. So I went in to talk to her. And now I've taken sciences, English. I was in the orchestra, you know, 5 years of math, da, da, da. Plus I had gone to summer school. So I had more classes that I needed to graduate. And if you take out the students that did like gym and back then, you know, home economics and typing and that type of thing, I was probably like one of the, it's hard to say, maybe in the top 25 academically, because of the classes I took and the grades that I got. But if you add in all the people that, you know, took home economics and, you know, just had a very different course load than I did, you know, so I was further down the list. Oh, now I forgot what I was
the college counselor.
See, I go off on these tangents.
No, okay.
I was talking about the college counselor. So it was a white college counselor. And she started talking to me about going to some technical school in Savannah, Georgia. I was like, do you know what kind of student I am? Do you know the classes I've taken? And you're talking about some technical school in Savannah? And I thought, okay, I'm done with her. So I didn't really have a resource. So a lot of stuff was just done on my own. Now, a neighbor of mine also had become a counselor at the school, but she's not the college counselor. So one time a black woman from Radcliffe came and she said, are there any students I can talk to? And she said, yeah. And so I came down and talked to her and I became very interested in Radcliffe. And I wish now that I had applied, but it was like around in December, she was like here, I guess, you know, for the holidays. And I had already applied to 14 schools. It was a laborious process. You know, there was no computer, you know, no common app. You know, you had to do all this stuff by hand. And at first I said, oh, I really want to apply to Radcliffe because I thought she was just like, yeah, great. But at the end of the day, I thought, God, I am so tired of app, you know, filling out applications and getting recommendations and, you know, doing all the paperwork. You know, you had to handwrite your essays. You know, it was, and I just thought, I can't do it. I've had enough. 14 was just way too many. But I was like playing my cards because I was like, you know, I might like here, I might like. So I narrowed it down to 14 colleges, and so I just applied to them. And it took a while because nobody's essay was necessarily the same. It's not like, you know, the Common App. So it was like 14 different essays. I don't know how many I had to write. So it was a lot. So I just didn't apply. And also because I looked at Radcliffe and Radcliffe was not at that point, an individual school. So you took all your classes at Harvard. And I was like, oh, this isn't really a school. It's just the name, you know, not understanding what Harvard was and why actually. And you got your degree and it actually said Harvard back then. It didn't say Radcliffe. And I just thought, oh, this isn't a real school.
you got to Smith in 1968, is that correct?
69,
okay. Yeah. And then you transferred to Dartmouth in...
No, so they had an exchange program that had run for years among all the Ivies where, well, it's actually also the schools in the Valley, like Amherst and UMass, and there were some... you could also go to an HBCU. One of my best friends went to Howard for a year. And because of the social situation with, you know, all male schools, guys would come down go to the Seven Sisters, if you will. And there was a group of guys that my freshman year, before a lot of the Black Dartmouth men went to Holyoke, which was close to Smith. But this group of guys would come down to Smith, you know, and the Black Students Association would have parties and stuff. So starting in my freshman year, I met a lot of guys from Dartmouth, and we became really good friends. I became good friends with a lot of them, and I would go up to Dartmouth on the weekends. A lot of times, because also at that time, I don't know if you knew this, Dartmouth had classes till like noon on Saturdays.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. And so sometimes it made it hard if a guy was taking a class, you know, had a Saturday morning class, they couldn't come down on Friday nights. Usually, they would come down Friday nights, leave after classes and drive down to Smith and party. So, and then the Black Association at Dartmouth, you know, would have women come out from all different kinds of different schools. And, you know, guys would give up their rooms and stuff for us to stay and stuff. And so, I knew a lot of guys. That was the place that I knew the most guys. I had, you know, other friends where I would go down to Columbia and I thought that's too far to go regularly. I had a couple of friends at Princeton. I thought that's too far. I went to Yale, thought that was the ugliest school and gloomiest school I'd ever seen. Yeah, because I went down in the winter and it was, I did not like Yale at all in the winter. So Dartmouth became my default. I knew the most people there, and so I felt very comfortable. So my sophomore year, as I was mentioning earlier, I started thinking about transferring because I wanted a different experience. And I thought about Stanford. And then I found out at that time, if you transferred, you could not get financial aid your first year. So that kind of blew that up. And so I was thinking, what was I going to do? And I'll never forget, Terry and Leslie and I, we all three sophomore year lived in the same dorm. And I remember Terry was sitting on the steps for some reason. And I came and I guess we started talking about what we were going to do junior year, because a lot of people did the abroad thing. And my thing is, I had already decided that I love the econ department at Dartmouth. And I had already decided that I wanted to get a PhD in economics. And so I was very academically focused. So I didn't want to go abroad because I kept thinking, I need these classes. So I always, you know, and so I had taken a bunch of econ courses my freshman and sophomore year. And so I thought, I need to go someplace where I can take econ courses, and the ones that aren't offered at Smith, and that are going to help me get in grad school. So I knew nothing about the exchange program. And so Terry started telling me about that she and Leslie were applying to the exchange program at Dartmouth. And I thought, oh, I love Dartmouth. You know, I got a lot of friends there. I know the campus very well. I feel very comfortable there. That would be a great place to go for a year, you know, and probably having that on my academic record would probably help me get into grad school. So I d decided to apply, and you know, you go through the, you know, it's sort of like a formal application process, and someone would come down from Dartmouth and interview all the people that wanted to go do the exchange program. And actually, I don't remember. Yeah, I think each year, freshman year and sophomore year, they already had exchange students from different schools, Black women. So I knew them and I knew they had a good experience. So I thought, oh, I'll apply to that program. And, you know, once I go away for a year, you know, and get that experience, I can come back and finish up my senior year. So lo and behold, you know, I got accepted into the program. And so I decided to go because Leslie and Terry had also gotten accepted. So, and they were good friends. So that's how I came to Dartmouth. And then at some point in, I think it seems like it was late fall, like towards the end of the term, Dartmouth announced that it was going co-ed, and they
Is
were
it
going to,
1972?
no, let's see. Oh yeah, wait a minute. 69, 70, 70, 71, fall of 71. Yeah. And that they would allow the women that there were there on the exchange program to apply, because they just had a 2 year residency requirement. So we fit that because we would be there, you know, for a year, and then our senior year would be our second year. So all seven of us applied, never thinking that all seven of us would get in. We had no idea. Because every, I think probably 90% of the women that were there probably applied. So we didn't know what the numbers were going to end up looking like, and we didn't think.
I think I remember reading an article in the Alumni Magazine, and they said it was 100 out of 150 women applied.
That's what I had the sense of. No one ever gave us numbers, but I had a sense of, you know, I thought most women were having a positive experience and probably would apply. The only hang up was going to be the fact that when you participated, at least from Smith, in the exchange program, you had to sign a document that said you would not apply to transfer. So they had to go for any of the schools that I suppose that had that where you had signed that agreement. So they went to Smith and asked if they would allow the Smith women to apply to transfer, and they gave the okay. Then we were officially allowed to, because legally we had a binding agreement that we would not transfer. So probably because they figured, oh, these women get a taste of co-education and they're gone. So once that we got that waiver, we were good to go. And I mean, we used to have these discussions about, you know, who would probably get in, and you know, and who wouldn't, not who wouldn't, but you know, any of us could be accepted, but kind of sort of what would be the rationale for who got accepted. And then lo and behold, all of us got accepted, and all of us accepted.
Thank you.
So It was a very positive experience. I love Dartmouth. I think our experience was very, very unique. And particularly for the women that came from the sister schools and had been coming up to Dartmouth beforehand, we just had a comfort level. And there wasn't any, you know, culture shock or anything like that, because we were doing everything except, you know, going to classes. But we already had a friend set. So it was a very easy transition. And the only thing I was concerned about was the academic rigor, because I thought, these guys, you know, they're going to be, you know. And I would go to class, so I made sure that I was always super prepared. And I would go to class, and most of the time, especially in econ, I was the only woman and I was the only Black person in the majority of my classes that I had there. I thought, I would listen to these guys, and it was obvious to me, because I was so prepared, that they were full of BS. And I said, the professor, you know, probably knows they're full of BS. But I was like, what? What you, have you read the material?
We have
what
not read. Talking about?
So I was immediately thought, oh God, I know I compete with these guys. And that was interesting to me from my Smith experience, when women were super prepared and had the intellect, but just were reticent to discuss the topic. Guys would just jump in, didn't know what the heck they were talking about. And I thought, oh my God, I've never seen so heard so much BS. So that was interesting. So then I immediately said, I got this, you know, I'm not going to have any problems here.
Did you take any classes outside of econ?
Oh yeah, yeah, because I still had requirements to take. That were different from Smith's. So yeah. And it's interesting, because I always thought, you know, sometimes these schools know what they're talking about when they have these requirements, because I had not completed my science requirement. So there was a class called physiology for non-science majors. That turned out to be one of the most fascinating courses I ever took. And if I had taken that earlier, because I became fascinated with the kidneys and their functioning. And if I had taken that earlier, I might have thought about becoming a research scientist and studying, specializing in the kidneys. But it was my junior year and I wasn't about to, you know, change my major at that point. But I thought that was a great class to take. It's very eye-opening. You know, I was more a physics, chemistry type person. I didn't like, you know, I took my first biology class in high school. I did not like dissecting anything. I thought, okay, the biology track is not for me. So my next 2 years, I took chemistry and physics.
Do you ever interact with the AAAS department? Because I know that it was established around that time.
No. No. The only thing that I knew, you know, a lot of Black guys came there wanting to be, go to law school or med school. And a lot of my friends were pre-med. And I knew how, you know, that was a killer track. So I might have been discouraged, but I just thought, oh, I just love this class. And I love learning about, in particular, the kidneys. And I guess just because I'm a very curious person, and that was something, learning how something worked. And so learning how something worked in the body. And I thought the whole process of the kidney, and what it did, was just fascinating. But I might have taken a few more science courses and said, nah, this isn't for me. But because I don't know how I would have felt ultimately if I had to actually dissect a kidney or something. But that's the only time I thought, huh, I might consider another major. I mean, I actually went to school thinking, went to college thinking I was going to go to law school. And then I ran up against the econ department. And it was just so interesting because you had these very old white men who were economists and very conservative and straight laced. And then they had this whole younger group of guys, because even at Smith, a lot of my teachers were male, professors were male, who were like socialists and Marxists and just really interesting characters. And so I thought, man, this is real. This department is really interesting, very diverse in terms of the professors and, you know, their outlooks and stuff. And so I became fascinated with that. And that was really why, you know, I switched from thinking I wanted to be a lawyer to being an economist. But that was the only time. So I still had courses that I had to take. Let's see, I took philosophy. I took history. I don't know. I don't remember if I took any sociology. I think I took... I don't know if it was geology, geography. I needed a part, had to meet a requirement for something. I took, that was one that satisfied that. So no, I think each term I probably took an econ course, but I had more than, I had to complete my math requirement there. So I did that. Luckily, I had completed my gym requirement. Does Dartmouth still have a gym requirement?
Well, is that a requirement? I think there was a swim test when I entered.
Right.
So, but COVID did a number on that one. So right now it's a bit, I don't have to do it as someone that's graduating in the spring, which is pretty good for me.
Yeah. So I completed that at Smith, which is, again, I'll tell you this funny story. So you have to go in and you have to get out of the swim requirement, you have to go and do a swim test. Well, I went to the gym and they told me, and I had taken swimming lessons as a kid, but I was not a strong swimmer and I was not about to jump into the deep end. So they tell you to come in, which I thought was the stupidest thing. You come in and jump in the deep end. And I said, no, I'm not going to jump into the deep end. So that created a big hoopla because they said, well, no one's ever told us that before. And I was thinking, what stupid women who are non-swimmers come up here and jump in the deep end because you tell them to. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't have any problem taking swimming, but as a test, I'm not going to jump in the deep end, drown. So I was like, I can't believe that women would come up here and just be like sheep, and you can't swim or you're not a good swimmer and you're going to jump into the deep end. If they had told me to come in through the shallow, I would have done it, but I was not about to jump into the deep end. I'll say you probably thought, oh, this is what we get for allowing black women.
What was it like being black at Smith versus being black at Dartmouth?
Well, the obvious difference, men versus women. The thing that I did, I wasn't ever into sororities. My mother was a soror. She was a member of a sorority. I don't like cliques. And I don't like, I think my opinion was that when you join sororities, and we had social clubs in high school, we were very bougie in the black community. The middle class black community was very bougie. And like my mother's sororities was big. They did the debutante balls and all of this. And my mother's like, oh, are you going to be a debutante? I was like, no way, I'm not. And my older sister was the same. It was like, no, you know, you go off and we go sorority, you have a good time with those, that whole debutante process, but no thanks. So I just didn't like those. And there were so many cliques when I was in high school and stuff, and I just didn't like it. I just thought you separate yourself from people that you might be very good friends with because of, certain things. And this wasn't coming from a place of, not being popular, because I was, and I was in those clubs, but I just always had an aversion to that. Oh, I should have mentioned that. That was one of the things that was a criteria for me. I didn't want to go to any school that had sororities in France. And although I applied to big universities that had them, I just was not a big believer. So the fact that Smith at that time didn't have any sororities was very, very appealing. But you had your mean girls, even among the black women. But it's fun. I mean, my closest friend in the world went to graduated from Smith. And Terry and Leslie and I, although we have a similar experience transferring to Dartmouth, I mean, I met them at Smith. It was just a different experience. I mean, it's always different when you have guys around. I mean, it was nice to have a male perspective of things. And I had a lot of friends, and guys were very, very nice to me, overly nice. I mean, from the standpoint of, always wanting to walk me across campus at night. I was like, I don't have any problems. You don't have to walk me across campus. I can defend myself. So just very, very nice, and just, having platonic friendships, with people. They're guys that I'm still very close to. And far more guys I'm close to than women I'm close to from Smith. There were just some really, really nice black men at Dartmouth. And we didn't have that experience that a lot of women coming later had. Just the issues and surrounding, women coming up from other schools, and just sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but it was a very unique experience. And I don't think that after us, and maybe the women that were, well, I think that was one or two 74s. I think one, and I think there were two 75s. I think there were three women that came after us. And then you had the big class of 76, where that was the first 4-year class.
And they arrived when you were leaving, right? Like you were freshmen. They were freshmen when you were a senior.
Right. And so it was interesting. So senior year, one of the things that we were talking about what we could do, and we're sitting in the AM with a group of black women, and we started talking. And I don't know if you've seen, I hope the poster from the one and only Black Women's Conference that was held at Dartmouth. That was the brainchild of myself and Wanda Johnson. And I have a picture. I came across one of the posters, and I had it framed and gifted it to the AM. It used to be on the wall there. I don't know if it still is.
Look.
Yeah, but I was surprised that no one else ever did anything around black women. So that we had speakers come up. We had an exhibit in the rotunda of a couple of black women artists, prominent black women artists at the time. A lot of speakers. Toni Kate Bambara came up.
When was this?
I think it was in the I think it was in the spring. So 73. I don't think it was in the fall because it took a lot of planning, a lot of planning. And in the end, it came down to just Wanda and I orchestrating this whole thing. I don't think the fall term would have given us enough time to do it. And I remember it wasn't cold. So I'm thinking it must have been in the fall, the winter term, but maybe like spring time.
Yeah.
The date is on the poster. But we were really, really proud of ourselves. And I know after it was done, it was a really big success. Wanda and I took ourselves to the Hanover Inn to have dinner and
Nice.
brunch. We were so happy. He said, "Let's go to the Hanover Inn and have dinner and drinks and celebrate."
Was it supported by the entire community, men and women?
Yeah, not we had a couple of guys that were very supportive. Not as many guys as I would have liked. I mean, I would have liked like 90% participation, but it wasn't that high. But all the sessions were packed. And then remember we had all the women from 76. So the turnout was really good. It was really good.
Do you have any thoughts around Black unity on campus at this time?
Oh, tremendous. We were a great community, very supportive, very involved, very active. I lived in the Chokes, and I loved that because, I'd come out of my dorm, go in through the basement, of the am, up the steps, see what's in there, and then out. And I'd come back and go through the am, see who was there, stop and talk, down the basement, out the door, over to my dorm. So I was like in and out of there, several times a day. But I thought it was a great community. I mean, there are people that I just love to death from Dartmouth who are just great people. Great people. So, it was fortuitous because I don't know if I would have liked it hearing some of the issues that some of the women have. And, I was very involved with Dartmouth for over 2 decades at least. I've been an interviewer and I was on the alumni council. So I've done a lot of work for Dartmouth. I used to like to do the I become discouraged now, but and when I would go back for reunions and different events and particularly reunions and talk to other Black women and who just had a horrible experience and I just cannot fathom. I think going to college, I mean, I personally think it should just be a magical experience for you. And I always feel bad for those for people who just hated their college experience and had, a lot of issues. Because, I had a really great experience. And I think the men there at the time were very special people.
That's fair. I mean, I'm one of those persons that does not like their college experience.
No.
I understand that there's like a very diverse set of opinions. So that's fair.
Yeah, I think I just lucked out. It was a very special time in this country. A very special time in terms of what white colleges were trying to do around diversity, and gender equality. And so, you know, I would do it again. I would do it again.
Was Lorna C. Hale one of the students that you remember, one of the women?
Yeah, but we weren't, we were more acquaintances. We weren't friends. I think she went to Wellesley, and we just had a very different track and set of friends. So never really socialized with her or, you know, really had any contact or experiences with her. So she was probably the only one that I didn't get to know. All
seven.
I'm sorry.
Of the seven, right? She was one of the seven.
Yeah.
I believe she was really involved in the theater scene. So right. I'm sure it was just like, you know, just your path never crossed.
Not really. She didn't live anywhere near me. And again, she was very involved in the theater. And yeah, just, you know, I just knew her in passing. So I can't say we were friends or anything like that. We were acquaintances, you know. But yeah, the rest of us, particularly senior year, all of us lived in the Chokes, except Lorna.
Okay.
Now, Leslie, wait a minute. Terry, Wanda, Brenda, Lucinda. I can't, maybe Leslie didn't. At least five of us lived in the Chokes.
Do you remember there being alphas on campus while you were there?
Being what?
Alphas, Alpha Phi Alpha, the fraternity, the black.
No, I think those fraternities came after I left.
Okay.
I don't remember any fraternities among the with the guys I knew.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it was after, and it may have been soon after. I think they did come in the 70s, but I'm not sure. But, and if there were, you know, it was a very small outpost, but I don't ever remember that there were any frats even started when I was there.
Were there any extracurricular activities that you were involved in while at Dartmouth?
No, and that's one of the regrets I have. I mean, I think the one thing I didn't do was take advantage of everything there was to offer there. For instance, Wanda and I decided that we wanted to learn how to ski, and we were going to ski winter term. We were going to take a skiing class. But it was extracurricular, but you know, you got free skiing lessons and, you know, all the equipment and stuff. So we signed up for that. Lo and behold, when we came back, what a term, we were like, oh no, it's way too cold. And oh no, what if we break something? And you know how the winners are there. And I don't know if they are as bad, but you know, you literally walk through walls of snow, you know, when it would come and, you know, get the snow off the sidewalks and the street, and there would become like piles and piles of dirty, nasty looking snow and very slippery and stuff. And we were like, can you imagine if you broke your leg, your arm trying to maneuver? So we said, nah, not gonna do it. And then lo and behold, years later, when I moved to, got a job in Boston and moved to Boston, and had a group of friends that were skiers. And then I got into skiing. I was like, I had to pay all this money to take skiing lessons, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I could have done all of this for free. I was like, geez, who would have thought that, 10 years later, I'm going to become an avid skier and have to spend all this money to learn how to ski, but I could have learned how to ski at Dartmouth for free. So I was like, gosh. And that was one thing I regretted. I thought, why didn't I just punked out on that? We just started talking to each other about how cold it was going to be and breaking something. And we really talked ourselves out of it.
Did you ever work on campus? Like, did you?
I had a work study job. I worked at the museum.
Nice.
That was the only place I worked. I worked at the museum in the administrative part of it.
Was that common for students to have work studies?
Yeah, because Wanda and I did it. We were both worked in the museum. But yeah, a lot of people, and that was a great job because I certainly did not want to work at Thayer Hall. But yeah,
design and services.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did, and it was more for us. Thankfully, we had good financial aid, but it was like our spending money. So it was good from that standpoint.
Do you remember the murals being painted in Chippewas? I think that might have taken place during this time.
Yes. That was done while I was there. Yeah. That was a great source of pride.
Did you pose? Like, I know that he took, asked certain students, the artist Florian Jenkins, asked certain students to pose for some of the panels.
No.
I live in Shabazz right now, which is Qatar, as you used to call it. So yeah. I see them every day.
Yeah, I it was great. And once I was up there, and I don't know if they still have the brochures.
Yeah.
But the brochure that the museum did was an idea that I suggested to them because there was nothing had ever been done, written up and formalized. They talked about the murals. So they produced that brochure. And hopefully it's still around somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the same one, but we do have brochures in the mural room for any visitors. I also wanted to mention that there's a group called Black Girls Are Magic on campus, and they don't have a conference, but they'll have socials and they have hair care events for Black women. Mm-hmm. So that's, there is still that tradition here of Black women looking out for each other.